stop. Hey, it's Lex and Stacy. It's Threesome Podcast number 70. If you missed number 69, it was a doozy.
Yes. Lex and I disagreed on some stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, we had a lot of fun doing it, too. But sometimes we do not disagree. Other times we team up and make fun of things. I think today might be one of those days.
It's kind of hot when we disagree. Come on, admit it.
Yeah, it's fun. Especially when I'm right.
Oh, you weren't right.
Well, then why did I have
Shane
an orgasm?
Woody going
then?
On. Well, that's because we were talking about pineapple flavored semen.
No, I had it before that.
Then it was because of Aaron Rodgers.
It's because of the potential.
That's why you want to be him.
The potential Mrs. Aaron Rodgers is why I want to be him. God, she's so hot. So hot. All right, so one of my favorite things to do is ask you about stuff you've looked into on the web before we get into our show, because nobody looks up shit like you. I don't know anybody that surfs like you do. It's my favorite. I literally am giddy driving here thinking, what the fuck is she going to come up with today? Because I got a whole staff of people on the Lex and Terry show that don't think like you, babe. It's pretty
much
the straight stuff. So I believe one of the things you talked about was a 400-plus 6'8" man that had some interesting ideas how to handle his girlfriend.
He, first of all, is from Florida, so we can give him the hashtag Florida Man.
Mm-hmm.
But he's also a McDonald's employee, and he was arrested this week after allegedly urinating on his pregnant girlfriend during an argument in their Florida home.
Any way you can get around that physical abuse, you should do it.
is horrible and psychologically damaging as getting pissed on would be for people who are not into it. I guess I would take the urinating than just like a good fist to the face. But that's just me.
Yeah, if I could put myself in a woman's body for that, I would endure that. I would get in the shower, and I would use my womanly mind to concoct the way he dies.
Yes. Because we're very good at that. We're
yes.
creative.
Yes.
We pay attention to the small details.
even the dumbest of the dumb can concoct ways, if you have tits, to kill.
There's some awesome B-movie right there.
Well, you know, just killer tits. Listen to the song Goodbye Earl from the Dixie Chicks, and that pretty much proves my point. So, I'm just kidding about that, by the way, Dixie Chick fan. And I do mean fan. I actually have a lot of respect and love for Natalie Maine. I think she's a great songwriter and very good at what she does. I just think the name of her band's fucking stupid, and she's a little sensitive. Outside of that, good stuff.
Yes.
But that song, my ex used to play that song all the time.
For you?
Maybe.
Which is, listen carefully, Lex. Listen to the words.
Because Lex had to die. Goodbye, Lex. Yeah. It's a song I don't have great memories about.
Isn't that how Samantha was conceived?
During the Dixie Chicks? I don't think so.
Can you imagine?
I don't even think that song was out yet.
Lex was fear fucking at that point.
Nah, I'll tell you how that happened. we weren't going to have kids. And, you know, we pretty much had the feeling that if it happens, it happens. Okay, but we're not going out of our way to have kids. Is kind of the way it was. And we were.
And then you went out of your way.
And we were quasi careful about it. Until one fateful Friday afternoon. Where we had the perfect storm of her having three or four girlfriends over and drinking wine by the pool. And Lex on the golf course drinking beer. And shots. And having to look at the world's hottest golf cart chick every two holes. So let's just say I walked in the door with an attitude.
Is that what you named your penis? Attitude Staley?
That's not funny.
It is.
It's not. Stupid.
Yes, it is.
That's stupid.
I got some attitude right here for you, baby.
But I remember walking in the door barely, and she had her friends over there, and I remember going, "Y'all got to go."
Did you say it just like that?
Pretty much.
Did you become Southern man right about then?
Uh huh.
Ah.
And they went, "Why?" And I went, "You know why."
You may not be able to tell right now, but I am fully erect and I want to use it.
By the way, I play golf with two of your husbands and you're pretty much getting the treatment when you get home, too. Hate to tell you. But Jack Black's in town. Downtown.
Nice.
Yeah, I was using all the cliches. It's beer 30. Get out. It's 5
How
o'clock.
How could anyone resist you? You silver-tongued devil, you.
It wasn't that bad, but it was pretty much like, it's like, come on, y'all get out of here, seriously. Lex needs some pussy. So that's how it happened. It was just,
and that's the story of how Samantha was made.
I think so. I think that's the day. She seems to agree. So it's the way it goes down sometimes. You know, it's a violent game, relationships.
Yes.
If you're not prepared to be in one, don't be in one. It's not all fun and games, kids.
No, sometimes it's just some angry fucking.
Yeah, sometimes it just, yeah, it's just like, ah, yeah. Yeah. You're like Klingons.
Yes.
That's just totally primal. That's kind of the way that went.
If you were a true Star Trek fan, you would be able to speak in Klingon right now.
Yeah, I can't. They keep changing it.
Poser!
Like in the original show, Klingon spoke English. There was none of that shit. They just all had gruff wrestling voices like, "Die, Kirk! You! You're now on the planet Klingon! Ah!"
See, now the TV show Farscape got through that by giving everybody like these little, an injection of like language microbes. So that allowed everyone to understand each other no matter what language they were speaking. And that was great. They never had to explain anything again.
Yeah, it's. And you know, it's just like there was a dialogue. It's like, "Kirk, you and your crew will perish." "I don't think so. In fact, we have phasers on stun pointed at you right now." "But before this happens, I'm going to show you our Horus tits.
Nice.
Yes. We like them too. Spock.
Totally.
Spock, give me an analysis of a Horus tits. Captain, they're 34 in diameter and weigh approximately 8 pounds apiece.
Nice.
Spock, you pointed ear freak. She's a woman, not a diagram. Doctor, I was merely answering the question of the captain's. That being said, I must put my tricorder next to them and analyze them. Whoops.
Because Spock would say whoops.
Spock, now you've done it. Now HR has to come up here.
It was a part of Star Trek we never saw.
Yeah. This is an HR hearing conducted with Dr. McCoy, Mr. Spock, and Captain Kirk. Gentlemen, we don't know what you're talking about. The captain is correct. We have no data to give you at this present time. Spock, you grabbed her tits right in front of everybody. He reaches over and pinches his neck and knocks him out. The doctor's a little exuberant. I'm afraid we're going to have to fire all of you.
And that's how the Enterprise ends.
Yeah. We're taking the Enterprise away from you. For violating the sexual misconduct code 07401. Which coincidentally is almost the same number as on your ship. Wow. Anyway, hand over those dry fit shirts and let's...
They're tunics?
Yes.
Did you see what Star Wars did at the San Diego Comic-Con?
No.
Oh, man, I would give, like, ovaries and body parts to have been there. The entire cast was there, including Harrison Ford. And they so showed, boring. Like... It was great. The videos that I was watching and stuff, it was just amazing.
The
and
worst
they,
actor on the planet.
But he's Han Solo in Indiana Jones.
Same
guy. And he's
guy.
Not going to be with us for much longer. He's in his 70s.
Well, he also is a shitty pilot.
Yes.
So funny.
But it was amazing,
Han
though,
Solo
Lex.
Had to land his Cessna on a golf course.
If he wasn't Han Solo, he probably would have died. So, you know, we don't know how much skill was needed and knowledge to get that there.
But Darth Vader can't kill you, but a Cessna did.
Or Boba Fett. Or Jabba.
Bring me the Cessna.
Anyways, they showed videos like behind the scenes stuff and everything, and it was just really fucking cool. And then when it was over, what they did was they invited everyone that was in the auditorium. It was like 6,000 people. They invited them all to like make this half mile walk down some street where they set up. It was just for the people that had made it inside the auditorium for this. They had a concert, a free concert that was all Star Wars music and everything, and it was like the San Diego Pops or Symphony or whatever did that, and it just sounded really cool. They gave everyone a lightsaber as they came in, so it was just like this huge crowd of lightsabered dorks listening to symphony music.
What has 12,000 legs and doesn't have sex? Comic-Con.
Oh, I bet you there's a lot of sex going on at Comic-Con. That's a huge deal. And that's where you get the hot chicks doing the cosplay. Dressing up as your favorite little game characters and such. And comic book characters and everything else. I really want to go to one someday. The closest one is Detroit. I don't know how big it is, though.
They all seem to be pretty decent, no matter if they're in major cities. They seem to be... The one here in Dallas looked like it was pretty good.
You should go once. You've got enough love for like Star Trek and Star Wars and everything. You really should go once.
No, I'm not adverse to going at all. Sarah goes all the time when it comes here, but I want to go to the Bad Boy in San Diego. That seems to be where it happens.
Yes.
We should go out there and broadcast the show sometime is what we should do.
Yeah. Use it as a write-off and then just have a blast.
That would be epic.
A different kind of blast.
That would be totally epic to go do that. I think that'd be fun.
An old boyfriend of mine got to be like on the Doctor Who panel once a long time ago.
My God.
Yeah, that's right.
Who?
He's a huge Doctor Who fan.
Now, who's Doctor Who? You're going to have to help me with that.
You know what? I will admit, I am not super familiar. That is like one of the very few of all that stuff that I've never really dabbled in.
I mean, it sounds like a villain. Is it a villain?
I don't think so. I think he travels through time and then ends up here. But I know there's the TARDIS, which is like the phone booth that when you go inside, it's really huge inside. I don't know. That's about all I know of Doctor Who.
Oh, okay.
And I know the TV show Torchwood was somehow spun off that. I've actually watched more Torchwood than I have Doctor Who.
So the new Fantastic Four movie looks pretty good.
I am really personally sick of all of this shit being remade within the same decade that the first thing. Yeah. Like the Spider-Man movies pissed me off.
Yeah.
And plus, I tried watching the first of the new ones, Amazing Spider-Man or whatever, and didn't even make it through the whole movie. It was like, wow, what a tremendous piece of shit. And I'm not even a Tobey Maguire fan because he sounds like an asshole, but I would rather watch Tobey Maguire as Spider-Man any day.
I didn't think any of them were any good. For one thing, the
Tobey Maguire ones I thought were better. I mean, they're not my all-time favorite superhero movies, but
for one thing, the comic and the cartoon version of Spider-Man, Peter Parker was not a mealy, you know, kind of keep to himself. He was kind of snarky. He was a reporter. He was kind of dicky. You know, and the only difference...
He was a reporter. Now, honestly, question, how did he end up getting bit by a spider then? If I always thought he was, like, again, yet another scientist.
In the cartoon, I don't think they ever addressed how he became Spider-Man.
Okay.
I think it was just assumed, because he worked for the Daily Bugle or whatever it was. And he was a reporter or a photographer or something.
Gotcha.
And the way he found crimes to solve and to stop and everything was because of his reporter job.
Okay. That would make sense.
Yeah. So, you know, he was always kind of suspicious and snarky, you know, where people were suspicious of... thinking maybe he could be Spider-Man, but never got the goods on him. You know, especially his boss. You know, his boss was always like, there ain't something right about you from the beginning.
Right.
And, but, you know, so it was kind of, I don't think it was really ever addressed, or I just missed it, on how he became Spider-Man. I think it was just assumed from the comic at the time that Spider-Man existed. This was his job. This was, you know, I think that's why the movies were so looked forward to, is because they addressed the period before that.
Gotcha. See, I admit I never read comic books. So like with the Avengers movies and stuff, I will go online and like try to read like from actual comic book people, like blog posts and things, so that I can get a better idea of the true backstory and why certain relationships are the way they are and stuff. Because yeah. I do. I love the Marvel movies. They make me so freaking happy.
Yeah, they are good.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I love that show, too. You know, I'm really, like, really into the Marvel movies right now.
Yeah, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is cool.
I love Phil.
Yeah, and plus he was awesome in New Adventures of Christine.
Of old Christine, yes. I remember, yeah. I was like, oh my God, it's Christine's
yeah.
husband.
Yeah. It's one of the best written shows on TV. That show was so fucking good. I can't believe it's not in syndication anywhere, because, God, that was a funny fucking show.
Oh, Julia Louis-Dreyfus's brother and the weird, yeah, awful the relationship with his mother.
Yeah, and the two women at school, the two blonde women.
Yes.
You know, the women that have been part of my life the last 20 years at horse shows and schools. I mean, it's like they're so fucking dead on.
The mommies.
Yeah, the mommies.
I think is what she called them.
I mean, they are just spot on. For a fucking Plano housewife. So fucking funny. I mean, that show was brilliant. As most of the shit she's been in is. She just gets
it. She's just amazing.
Yeah.
She's hot. She doesn't age. She's just awesome.
She's got the best laugh. You know, it's like you so want to hang out with her. You know, when
did you ever finally watch The Last Fuckable Day with Amy Schumer?
I still haven't seen it.
You should. Julie Louis-Dreyfus is in it.
Yeah, I am.
In that sketch. You need to watch it.
I love Amy Schumer. I love her. Do you ever, like, stumble across The Bachelor or Bachelorette or any of that shit?
No, I avoid that stuff like the plague.
Well, Lisa watches it, so I've been watching it with her. But one of the episodes, they had Amy Schumer on, and the guys had to do stand-up comedy. She was fucking ruthless. Oh, my God.
Good for her.
This guy goes up and performs and comes back and sits down next to her because she's coaching them all. You know. And she goes, "You're probably not going to last through this competition." And he goes, "Well, I'm not really." She goes, "No, I mean for the girl."
Good for her. Girl power.
She goes, "You're not funny. I mean, there's nothing about you that's funny." "I'm sorry." He goes, "It's okay." She goes, "It really isn't." I'm like, oh my God, I love this chick.
You need to watch The Last Fuckable Day. Please, please, please do it. The uncensored version, of course.
Yes. Where can I find that?
It should be on YouTube.
Yeah.
Comedy Central's been pretty good about posting that stuff.
How long is it?
Maybe 5 minutes.
Oh,
tops.
Is that right? Okay. All right.
It's just a sketch from one of the TV shows. I think it was from this season.
Did you ever look up the Jeffrey Ross? God, I can never remember her fucking name.
Sarah Silverman.
Sarah Silverman.
No, I haven't.
Oh,
I never think about it.
Yeah.
I will do it. I'll jot myself down.
You will laugh your ass off. It's so fucking ruthless. Her fucking old dog on her lap. Yeah, this thing looks like his last leg. He goes, "Just wanted to let you know I'm sorry." She's like, "For what?" "That I'm not going to be here tomorrow to console you." The dog's like, looks like he's going to die.
See, now I can remember when I still had my old personal Twitter account. I followed her, and I remember when her dog died.
Oh, is that right?
Like, trended, the dog did eventually die.
Oh God, it was so old. I mean, it really did look like it was going to go any second. And he was such a dick. Oh my God, he was such a dick. The setup was so beautiful. Just want to let you know, I'm sorry.
Oh yeah, for what?
I'm not going to be here tomorrow to console you.
Since we're talking about comedians.
And the camera focuses on the dog who can barely open its eyes.
What are your thoughts now on the whole Louis C.K. thing? With all these rumors popping up about him whipping his dick out and masturbating in front of other female comics.
I have not seen or heard anything since you brought that up. I brought it up to the boys, and they looked at me like I was crazy.
So, therefore, it must not be true.
I'm just saying it's not out there. It's not Cosby-esque yet.
No, but it has all the potential, because he right now is kind of considered, you know, now that Ray Romano is sort of in retirement and Jerry Seinfeld is too, right now it's kind of the time of Louis C.K.
Yeah, I guess
and
so.
He's doing this to female comics. He's not. It doesn't sound like he's doing this to fans or like the random chick on the street who might have a huge issue with it. He's doing it to women who feel that their careers kind of hang in the balance.
Yeah, I've only heard it from you. I need to go look it up and stuff if it's there.
There was some other female comic, I can't remember her name now. She actually back in April did a blog, did a podcast and talked about this. Like, he did this to her. And it was kind of brought to light. And she took that episode down, but like in the podcast talked about, like, I probably shouldn't even be talking about this because this is going to kill my career. And then once it kind of like started making its rounds and was really getting attention and some news stories had picked it up and stuff, she took it down.
Yeah, because she's going to get sued.
Well, can you get sued when, like, you know, if Louis C.K. comes and, like, pulls his dick out and starts jerking off in front of me and blocks the door so I can't get out of the room? Well, granted, he's not touching me or doing anything, but he's forcing me to watch his dick.
If you don't...
And I told people about it, how can he sue me?
Because it's just defamation of character. It's possible he didn't do it. There's no evidence he did it. Therefore... You know, as much as he has the power to jerk off in front of her, she has the power to say, yeah, you fucking jerked off in front of me. And maybe he didn't. Maybe he just didn't put her on a headlining bill or let her middle like she was supposed to. And she decided, well, Louis C.K. showed his dick to me. Who knows?
I really hope that you're not victim blaming right now.
I'm not victim blaming. I'm hypothetically hypothesizing that it's possible without video evidence that she could be lying.
But again, why would she? All it's going to do is kill her career if she's not telling the truth.
Stacy, why do chicks do lots of things?
Well, I don't know. For instance, good example, I'm just going to pull this one out of my ass, but there's 30 plus women who came forward about Bill Cosby. Mm-hmm. And if you go online to like social media and leading up to the point that the, you know, his confession in 2005 was finally made public, leading up to that, if you read, it's about half and half all of the comments from mostly guys being all like, you're just trying to bring the man down. You know, all those bitches just want money and their 15 minutes of fame. And it's like, wow,
well,
people.
That's what I'm trying to ask you. Is there all those bitches or is there just this one?
She is the only one that has come forward that I am aware of. But there are these persistent rumors, like there's a duo, and I have no idea who it would be, of female comics that like work together. And they're like really the big rumor that he was in a room with them and, you know, they were hanging out and it wasn't a sexual thing. And then he said, do you want to see my dick? And they, because up until that moment, you would think that's kind of funny, and they said, sure, and then he actually whipped his dick out and then blocked the doorway to the room so that they couldn't get out and jerked off and came in front of them.
But that just sounds completely preposterous to me.
It is, especially if you watch his show and he's so allegedly pro-woman and everything. They say that Doug Stanhope actually like came forward and said that rumor's actually about me, but he's right up Louis C.K.'s butt. He's one of his bros, so I could see where he would take the fall because
now, him,
again,
I could see doing it.
Yes, but you know what I'm saying? Just take one for the team.
Yeah, I need some more data when it comes to him. I you know, if there's like 4, 5, 6 female comedians, because if he's doing that, he's gonna repeatedly do it. That's not
correct. Like a multiple thing, but yeah. Just no one will come forward because
I mean it's like if he's done it and gotten away with it, he's gonna do it again till finally there's 5, 6, 7 women going, yeah, that's his thing,
right? And I'm also really sick. I saw, with the whole Bill Cosby thing, I saw people making comments, and again, it was from men saying, like, Bill Cosby really would need to rape women to have sex. And it's like, okay, you tools, it isn't about him not being able to get sex, and that's how the only way he could do it. This is his kink. This is his fetish.
No, he
likes his women completely incapacitated, and it's a power thing. It's not because Bill Cosby can't get laid on his own.
No, Janice Dickinson was pretty much like, God, what the fuck, the guy? I don't know what the problem is.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, that's... Yeah, you know, once you start giving somebody narcotics and stuff like that, you know... I agree. Probably 90% of those women would have fucked him anyway. Yeah, that's not the point.
But he took the choice away.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I mean, that's the bad part about it. You had to hear the piece of audio Dee played for us from the Cosby Show.
Uh-oh.
Oh, my God. It's, you know, and it was under the guise of there's things that tell on him. I think he calls it dry something, like dry telling or something like that. I can't remember the term he used. You know, it's a black thing. But it's but he said, listen to this piece of audio from the Cosby Show, and he's barbecuing chicken, and you know, Felicia Ayers, Allen is out there. Felicia Rashad Allen, I'm sorry, is out there talking to him, and you know, they're talking about, you know, getting some time to themselves and stuff like that, and he goes, well, apparently you haven't seen what my sauce can do, my barbecue sauce for my chicken. And it's like, he basically, the essence of the whole conversation was he goes, it's gonna make him a little buggy wuggy.
Nice.
And it's like in the episode, all the kids eat the barbecue sauce and fall asleep, and they show some sort of bottle of like something on his nightstand that he made the sauce with. In the show, it comes off as innocent.
Of course.
You know, like he just put some Robitussin in the chicken or whatever. But
Benadryl.
Or Benadryl or whatever it was. It was something like that. But he doctored the fucking barbecue sauce on the sitcom. You know, it doesn't look good.
No.
And he had like 2 or 3 others from the run of the show that was just weird stuff. And somebody that was on the show with him, forget what part he played, but he was on there for the whole thing. He goes, I 100% think he did this.
Really?
Yeah. His name's Archie something or other.
Because I was under the impression, but I mean, I haven't really honestly been trying to read too much about it because it's just sickening. I was under the impression that like castmates, like the kids and Felicia and everything, were either keeping quiet or at least politely offering their support.
Keeping quiet is showing your support.
Gotcha.
I think.
No, I agree.
I mean, if I'm him, I'd be like, thanks for keeping quiet.
But at the same time, again, you know, even now as like a doddering old man, he still wields a lot of power. You know, I get it. I get it. You know, if someone has the ability to completely fuck your career when you have been working so hard to get where you're at, and granted, most people don't make it to Cosby level, you know, the idea that because you displeased the big man, everything could be ruined. I get it, you know, and that's why with all of these, that's why with all these women coming forward,
about your sensei,
many of them were already successful in their own regard. You know, I mean, I don't see where all of them had something to gain from doing coming forward.
No, it. Listen, there's 30 of them. End of story.
But again, reading comments up until the confession came out a few days ago, whenever it was, you know, it was 30 women all like looking for their, you know, the bitches looking for their 15 minutes. The word of one man meant so much more than 30 women.
There's no pride in that 15 minutes, and there's no money really in that 15 minutes. There's not enough money to go around for 30 women. He's not gonna divvy up $60 million or $120 million. He's not. You know, it's like gonna be some sort of class action civil suit. They'll all walk away with probably a couple hundred grand apiece, and that'll be it.
Right.
It'll be $6 to $10 million, and that'll be it. And he'll die, and his wife will live in shame, and, you know, blah, 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 blah.
No, she won't. She'll live in denial.
Well, she already is in denial.
I know. That's what I mean. Her, oh, he's not a rapist. All of those women wanted sex with him. Which, yeah, they probably did. But again, when you wake up later and you have no idea what all just happened to your body.
Yeah.
That's pretty awful.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's for him to live with and die with and everything else. You know, most of these chicks have processed this and move on. The only reason they came forward is because somebody had the balls to do it and they went, she's not lying.
Right.
Yeah, but most of these women are like, I'm over this. I got over it a long time ago. He's just
These are like all mature women. Yeah. They're not like the 19-year-old who, you know, fucked a guy and knows that, like, I'm pregnant now, and there's my payday.
And that's why it's believable. You know, it's because some of these women are in their 60s, 50s. You know, there's really no plus side other than they feel some sort of responsibility to the first woman that came forward to let them know she's not crazy.
These are women who probably a majority of them are moms themselves, you know, and then having to explain to their daughters or even their sons that this man did this to them, you know, that's, I'm sure most of them probably would have preferred for it to just not ever come up again, but they felt they needed to do it.
Several of these women have stated they're not interested in court or money or anything like that. They just felt obligated to come forward.
Yeah.
You know, it's very hard to... It's very hard to call them liars and or agenda laden when, you know, really they're kind of just making sure he doesn't get away with this any longer.
Yeah.
And that he gets his due disgrace wise that he deserves. Yes. That's their payment. In the end, they get to say, fuck you.
Fuck you, you piece of shit pig. Disney took your statue down.
I mean, how fun would it be to go on TV and say, I don't want your money. I don't want to go to court. I don't even really want to think about this another day, but I'm not going to let you call this chick a liar that did bring it up.
Right. And that's the thing, too, that it was so easy for him to just be like, eh, whatever.
Yeah.
And completely dismissive of all this.
I'd be very motivated to say, you know, you affected my life for a small period of time. I've moved on, but I'm not going to... This person is traumatized. I'm not going to let you get away with it.
Yep.
Because some of these women feel that way. It's like yesterday's news. It happened. I survived through it. Some people are just stronger than others.
Exactly. I was just going to say that, you know, there are women who get through rape fairly unscathed psychologically, you know. There are very much women and men too. Yes, yeah, boys, kids.
Nelson Mandela's of the world, you know, who
have nightmares every night, literally for the rest of their lives.
Yeah, went to hell and back, but in the end processed it and died a normal person.
Yeah.
They weren't going
to
let...
There's no shame if you're the person who has the nightmares, as opposed to you're not less caring if you're the person who was able to shrug it off.
No.
Different people deal with things differently.
No, I mean, it's...
It was still a terrible experience.
It's a survival tactic, you know. It's
yes.
It's John McCain, prisoner of war. You know, guy's eating cockroaches and going days without eating and, you know, drinking water and, you know.
And then he brings us fucking Sarah Palin. What an asshole.
Yeah, well, that was.
And I love the man, an asshole.
At the time, it looked brilliant.
It was, but man, they should have paid more attention.
Well, they didn't have time to vet her. When you see the movie Game Change, they, you know, that's the big thing in the movie is, you know, we haven't had time to vet this woman. We have no idea what we're fucking dealing with here, you know, and they all sat in a room and decided their only chance to beat Obama, who's talking to fucking Berlin to 200,000 people and stuff like that. It's like we need somebody dynamic and off the normal grid to.
I could tell you right now, if Donald Trump and Sarah Palin ran together, I would have to go get like DirecTV so that I could watch Fox News and CNN and MSNBC continuously 24 hours a day for the next however many years. Oh my God. Could you imagine the douchiness and the dumbassery?
I mean, what a dream for Jeb Bush, who can just sit back and watch that, watch them get votes for him. Seriously.
Can you imagine Donald Trump and Sarah Palin, both of them such entirely all-encompassing media whores, like probably literally shoving each other out of the way to get to the podium so they can each speak at the same time and everything.
I mean, Mitt Romney must be kicking himself that he didn't run this time instead of last time. You know, I mean, because you can't make this up, what's going on right now. I mean, Jeb Bush is going to go straight through this like melted butter to the primaries.
Yes.
You know, and isn't going to have to say shit to do it. They are going to do all his dirty work for him. There's going to be liberals that turn Republican just to make sure he gets in, and none of these fuckers do. You know,
yes.
I'm serious. People that moderates that are on the fence about even to affiliate with themselves are going to be like, yeah, they need our help. We can't. We can't let Trump or Scott Walker or somebody like that.
Rick Perry.
Yeah, Rick Perry. I mean, oh my God, I can't wait for the debates. I can't wait. You imagine Trump and Rick Perry and Scott Walker and, you know, fucking Christie.
Is Huckabee running again?
Huckabee, you know, and Jeb Bush just looking to his left and right going, this is a dream. This is... I might as well get fitted for my inaugural address now.
Well, the idea that Donald Trump managed to... What little I know about politics, I understand that it has always been a battle, at least in recent years, for Republicans to get the Hispanic vote. Because of pretty much everything that Donald Trump did in simply, you know, saying that he was running for president, traditionally, Republicans with the whole immigration thing and everything are kind, they kind of put off Latinos. And I know that the Republican Party itself has been working very hard and spending a lot of money trying to figure out how to woo Latinos. And then you get Donald Trump, who says, I'm running for president, so all of those damn rapists. It's like, wow,
yeah,
you just set your own party back like 10 years.
Yeah, and you got the Mexican drug lord kid threatening him on Twitter. Cut you.
You milk shitter.
Yeah, milk shitter.
Yeah. I've been using that a lot. That's my new favorite.
It's pretty funny.
Even though it's anti-gay and I don't mean it that way, it's just, wow, that's just such a really awful thing.
It doesn't even sound gay. It just sounds like a really mean term, you know.
Yes.
You know, it's like, when you first said it, I didn't even make the correlation. You know, I was just like, wow, that's new.
Well, I only knew it because the news story actually said, in parentheses, after that, that is a gay, an anti-gay slur, yeah, according to TMZ. And it was like, oh, because I would have thought maybe, well, it was more of a like a mama's boy. I don't know.
Harvey would know. TMZ starring Harvey, who I had no idea whatsoever that guy was gay till it came out he was. That's the most ungay looking dude ever.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, the guy that the Harvey, what's his name on TMZ? You ever see the show?
No.
Yeah, he's like, you know, he just looks like a normal, you know, normal like lawyer dude. He used to be on People's Court. And, you know, it's like you picture him just going home to his 2.5 kids and wife, you know.
Gotcha. Like,
there's nothing about him that looks gay, sounds gay, references gay. Yeah, it's like,
so no short shorts or meshy shirts that show his nipples.
Yeah, he always wore like, you know, power suits and stuff like that. And and you know, when he's on the show, he wears like your typical Affliction shirts, like, you know, guys that want to make sure you realize they're not gay wear. And it's yeah, it's just he's an interesting dude.
Well, he's done a lot with a website that I admit, while I know is so incredibly seedy and trashy, it is one of my guilty pleasures.
Yeah, it is.
Because they're very good at getting the story, getting it quick, and most of the time are pretty accurate with their reporting, yeah, even though it's awful.
Well, he's a lawyer, so he's not going to put himself in a position to, you know, get them sued. You know, he did in the early days. They got careless a couple times, but he has it down now. They know how to bring you stories and bring them without, you know, keeping themselves insulated.
I'll admit, if there's like some big celebrity death, you know, Amy Winehouse, Michael Jackson, you know, that kind of thing, TMZ is where I head. That's my first place.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, they're going to have the details that, you know, NBC News is not reporting.
Yeah, NBC has it, but they won't tell it.
Yes. Which, totally off topic, but not really. I don't even remember how he was brought up yesterday, but for some reason, Phil Hartman popped into my head.
Oh, man, it's so weird. He got brought up on the show this morning.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I went and I Wikipedia'd him because it's been a while, and I just want, you know, a little refresher. I feel like I owe it to Phil because I loved him. And I do not remember this and was not aware of this, but apparently after, you know, it happened and he passed away and everything, oh, crap. John Lovitz came out and said that he blames Andy Dick because apparently Andy Dick caused the wife, Bryn, to have a relapse and get her back on cocaine.
Oh, yeah.
And then hence, you know, the events that unfolded after that. And Andy Dick was like, I had nothing to do with, you know, the death of Phil Hartman. And apparently they're not friends or fans of each other. Like, there is like a longstanding feud between John Lovitz and Andy Dick. And like, I think 2006 or something, like at a restaurant or something, Andy Dick just walks up to John Lovitz and says, I've put the Phil Hartman hex on you. You're going to be the next to die. Because Andy Dick is so weird anyway.
Yeah.
And then more recently, just within the last few years, I guess the two of them had some altercation. I don't know if it was physical or just words at some public place as well. But this has like been going on now for 17 years. They do not like each other at all. And it's all because of Phil Hartman.
I would have been like, you untalented piece of shit.
Andy Dick?
Yeah.
I just don't get how he has a career.
Exactly. It's like,
and for me, it's like, he's so...
Here's how stupid I think you are. I'm not worried in the least. I don't think you know dick about anything, dick.
He's so... like, you don't... I'm trying to think of the word. You don't know what to expect from him. Like, there was that story just last year or the year before where he was riding a bike and stole some guy's necklace and then rode off and stuff. It's like he just does this weird shit.
He didn't get enough attention, so...
Yeah, I just... He's someone that I would avoid, I think, at all costs because he would make me very uncomfortable.
Yeah, man. But there's probably something to that story. Because addicts love to have misery loves company type people with them, so.
Well, they were, because, you know, Phil and Andy were on news radio together. So it would make total sense that Andy Dick would be around Phil Hartman's wife.
Yeah.
You know. So.
That was a great show.
It was. And, you know, for also, this is according to the Wikipedia, so take it with a grain of salt, but apparently Phil Hartman's very all-time favorite role, the thing that he was most proud of, was being Troy McClure. He actually wanted to do, like, a Troy McClure movie. He said he was going to buy the rights to Troy McClure himself so he could do a movie.
And he could have. That show was, like, star-studded. Candy Alexander, the hot black chick.
Yes.
Oh God. Mm.
Yes.
And you know, she's in Scandal, you know, all the time. And Joe Rogan.
Maura Tierney.
Maura Tierney, Joe Rogan.
Jimmy.
What's his name? Jimmy, I can't think of. From Office Space. Yeah.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah. The kind of weird boss dude.
Yes.
Yeah, the Schwartz guy.
He's the one in that first season of, I think it was first season of Louis C.K., where Louis C.K. has the dream while he's at the dentist, because he's got the gas. And then, like, in the dream, he's like, why are you putting a banana in my mouth? It's so wrong.
Did you see the Louis C.K. episode of when he went to Charlotte to perform, and he was just a, you know, there was like a comedian there that was kind of a that's what she said type of guy, you know, was just all fucking sex humor and everything, and he was fucking in Charlotte, and this guy was opening for him and was just slaying with the lowest common denominator comedy. And then, you know, Louis C.K. goes on stage and, you know, tries to do all his highbrow New York shit. The crowd's like, yeah, whatever, you know, and everything. And then the next night, the guy's like puts on this like red bozo wig, you know, with the bald head, you know, and starts going, I'm 40 and I'm fat and I don't like myself. And, you know, he was like imitating Louis C.K.
And
they're having to share the condo, you know, the old comedian's condo. And,
right.
And the guy's like, you know, he goes, it's just fucking comedy, man. It's just a fucking gig. You know, it's broads and blow and, you know, dick jokes. And he goes, you're making this too fucking hard, man. You know, it's like nobody wants your highbrow bullshit. Just come out and be funny. That's all they fucking want. And Louis is sitting there looking at him like, you're half piece of shit and you're half right. You know, I mean, it was a really good episode. It really was. You know,
see, it was the first season that Ricky Gervais was the doctor.
Yeah.
And it was one of the greatest lines I've ever heard on it, ever. I laughed. I paused the show and just sat and laughed because he was that terrible doctor who made inappropriate comments about dying and AIDS and everything.
Yeah.
And he makes Louis C.K. like disrobe so that he can give him a complete physical. And when Ricky turns around and Louis is standing there naked, Ricky just starts in about that is the worst penis I've ever seen. You have
that.
The ugliest penis. And he's going on.
And he's laughing.
And then he says, yes. And then he says, that is the worst thing I've ever seen. And my father hung himself in front of me while masturbating. And I laughed. It was the best thing I've ever heard.
Yeah,
my father hung himself in front of me while masturbating.
It's like the guy in the Beaver Roast who said, "I saw your movie on the plane," and he goes, "That's the worst thing that's ever happened to me involving planes." And three jokes later, after he said his dad died in 9/11. This is a fucking brilliant setup. Your movie's the worst thing I've ever saw that had anything to do with planes. I'm like, oh my God, that's so sick. There's never going to be a too soon for that one.
No, I don't think so.
So anyway, our alarm went off a long time ago, Stace. We have wrapped up Threesome Podcast number 70, and we, of course, will be back with another one here in a couple days. And as the Jetsons land, I'm just here to tell you that it's always a lot of fun, Stacey. We will see you next time. And, of course, our Threesome Podcast audience, you can go to threesomepodcast.com. You can also go to our Facebook page at /threesomepodcast. That's with the number 3, by the way, not spelled out. So,
yes.
There you have it.
We went the easy way.
Yeah. Well, that and I think the other one.
We're on Twitter, too.
Yeah.
As well as Lex's penis.
Yeah, well, my penis is always around.
He tweets. He's pithy.
He's you.
He enjoys playing Kim Kardashian's game.
Yeah, whatever. Just don't be surprised when
Lex's penis just made the D list.
Don't be surprised when Stacey's twat shows up on Twitter.
I will welcome it with open arms.
God, the jokes just write themselves, don't they?
I know.
Don't they? All right, so there you go, Stace. Always enjoyable. We'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.